ABC Radio Australia.
As 11 suspects await trial over the seizure of 2.6 tonnes of cocaine in Fiji, onlookers are wondering how deeply embedded drug trafficking is in the country. Police allege the group, including four men from Ecuador, smuggled the drugs into Fiji using a semi-submersible vessel. Among those charged was the son-in-law of a senior Fijian government MP, Lenora Geringerin-Dambua, the country's deputy speaker and assistant foreign minister. Well, to get a better idea about how smugglers are going about the operation, we've brought in Steve Simon. He's the chair of New Zealand's Ministerial Advisory Group on Transnational, Serious and Organised Crime. And he joins us on the line now. With that, I say kia ora, Steve, and welcome to Pacific Beat.
Kia ora.
Thank you very much for joining us. Steve, look, the latest shipment of cocaine was exceptionally large. What was your reaction when you heard about it? I'm wondering, was the quantity consistent with the research you've done?
Sadly, it was. It was a surprise the first time we heard the quantity, but the more work we did in relation to the Ministerial Advisory Group, the more we found that it's likely to be a new norm. The idea that you'd see a ton of any type of drug going through the Pacific seemed impossible a few years ago, but now, because of the demands from Australia and New Zealand, it's likely that those quantities will become more and more day by day.
Mm. And again, we understand that 11 arrests have been made so far, multiple of which are Fijians. I'm just wondering, what kinds of people are traffickers targeting to help them get drugs into the country, and how do they go about their recruiting?
Much like they've gone about their recruitment of people to join them in Australia and New Zealand, you've got gangs who and organised groups who will target the vulnerable, who are wanting to join an organised group. Obviously, in the Pacific, you've got people who are very lowly paid, and so there's an opportunity there to offer them the wealth that can come from organised crime. What you also have is, there's a moral concern there, because for Australians and New Zealanders, those are the drugs that are coming to us, but they're not necessarily destined for those Pacific nations like Fiji. So for them, it's a case of assisting someone to move a product through their country and move on to other places. So it is a challenge to address.
Absolutely. And when we look at the semi-submersible vessels, right, they seem to be a popular mode of transport for these drugs. Yeah. However, I understand that they can't really travel long distances, meaning they are being transported into the region. I'm just wondering, how are traffickers likely going about this?
Well, it's an incredibly fiscal way for smugglers to work. You know, if they can move out the human element, much like we're using that technology with drone couriers and the like, organised crime is taking that same advantage and trying to use that. So moving large quantities of drugs from South and Central America across through the Pacific, with the destinations being in Australia and New Zealand. And that's one of the easiest ways for them to do it, rather than having to go on ships where you've got to rely on staff and the vulnerabilities that gives you. You can send it in these semi-submersibles or submersibles, which are very difficult for the authorities to detect because you're in a very much a needle in a haystack situation.
Mm. Well, we reported last week, Steve, that, you know, authorities need to use locals more to gather maybe intelligence. Like, how do you think Fiji overall can better protect itself?
I definitely think that's a great way forward. If take Fiji as an example, there's some 364 or so islands. And when you're talking about these semi-submersibles, they don't need to go to a main port. They can go to a very small port and to be unloaded. What you're really reliant on there is both technology, there being the technology to scan the waterways or the sea around those islands to try and detect anything coming in, and also heavily reliant on locals who will know what things are out of character and report that to the authorities so that they can take action.
Yeah, and that's the thing, Steve. Do you think the recent seizure of that 2.5 tonnes in Fiji is evidence that authorities in Fiji are starting to have more success, you know, penetrating these criminal networks?
Yes, they are. And what we're seeing is better cooperation between other international the and federal police, the New Zealand police, working with American authorities in terms of intelligence to identify these shipments either on their way to or when they've arrived in Fiji to help the local authorities. And we certainly need to have a lot more work with the authorities sharing intelligence and helping that intelligence to help the local authorities to take action in real time.
Mm. I want to go back to, of course, the semi-submersible vessels. Are they actually being transported in on bigger vessels or ships before being deployed? Because I understand they can't, again, travel long distances.
Some of them, a bit of both. What you're finding is there's no, you know, hard and fast rule for how they're being used. Obviously, some are being used, taking part of the way, but others with the, you know, advent of technology like solar panels and the like, they're finding ways to power them for greater and greater distances.
Nice. And then if we were to look at Australia and New Zealand, what role do they play in regards to, you know, expensive drug habits that play in all of this?
Yeah, we're kind of, the way we approached it with the Ministerial Advisory Group was we kind of have two roles. One is the destination. So in some ways, the Pacific is just a stopping point for drugs coming to New Zealand. The main reason they're stopping there is just geography. We're in the way between the Americas and our continents, Australia and New Zealand, who desperately want drugs and consume large quantities of drugs at high prices. And so as a result of that, the Pacific unfortunately becomes that stopping off point, which has led to a growth of a drug problem itself in the Pacific. Like places like Fiji have a massive now methamphetamine problem. Mm. And secondly, we have a moral obligation, which is that, you know, both Australia and New Zealand have a number of Fijian people, Samoan, Tongan, you know, Niuean, like huge numbers of people from the Pacific living in our countries. And so we have a moral obligation to also help the Pacific as well.
Yeah, yeah. We've seen, you know, the US resort to blowing drug trafficking boats out of the water. I mean, goodness, is that something Australia or New Zealand might have to adopt if drugs keep getting through?
Look, I mean, I think there is, what you're seeing is a desperation, not just in New Zealand and Australia, but also around the world in terms of how you stop these large quantities of drugs making it into our markets. I'm not sure that New Zealand and Australia would take the same tact as some of our allies, but certainly there is a willingness to cripple, if they can, those who are transporting drugs. Mm. The reality is it's finding the submersibles, which is the challenge, not what you do once you've found them.
Well, Steve, you are the chair of New Zealand's Ministerial Advisory Group. I'm just wondering, when will your next report come out?
So we provided our final, so we were doing monthly reports, and we provided our final reports to the government at the end of September. The government has recently, before Christmas, done a cabinet paper, which is basically saying the government is endorsing what we've proposed. And now we're in a phase where we're preparing for our budget in May to look at how we can either set up an agency tasked specifically with dealing with organised crime, with a minister of organised crime, and also how we can look at key issues which are standing in the way of our fight against organised crime, such as information sharing between our internal agencies and also with international agencies such as those in Australia.
Mm, sounds good. And look, Steve, thank you so much for sharing your expertise on the situation, but we appreciate your time and coming on Pacific Beat.
Anytime for you.
Thank you. Cheers. Thank you. That is Steve Simon, Chair of New Zealand's Ministerial Advisory Group on Transnational, Serious and Organised Crime.